Chapter 15. Laying the Depots. Mackintosh's account of the depot-laying journeys undertaken by his parties in the summer of 1915-16 unfortunately is not available. The leader of the parties kept a diary, but he had the book with him when he was lost on the sea ice in the following winter. The narrative of the journeys has been compiled from the notes kept by Joyce, Richards, and other members of the parties, and I may say here that it is a record of dogged endeavour in the face of great difficulties and serious dangers. It is always easy to be wise after the event, and one may realise now that the use of the dogs, untrained and soft from shipboard inactivity on the comparatively short journey undertaken immediately after the landing in 1915, was a mistake. The result was the loss of nearly all the dogs before the longer and more important journeys of 1915-16 were undertaken. The men were sledging almost continuously during a period of 6 months. They suffered from frostbite, scurvy, snow blindness, and the utter weariness of overtaxed bodies. But they placed the depots in the required positions, and if the Weddell Sea Party had been able to make the crossing of the Antarctic continent, the stores and fuel would have been waiting for us where we expected to find them. The position on October 9th was that the 9 men at Hut Point had with them the stores required for the depots and for their own maintenance throughout the summer. The remaining dogs were at Cape Evans with Gaze, who had a sore heel and had been replaced temporarily by Stevens in the sledging party. A small quantity of stores had been conveyed already to safety camp on the edge of the barrier beyond Hut Point. Mackintosh intended to form a large depot off Minna Bluff, 70 miles out from Hut Point. This would necessitate several trips with heavy loads. Then he would use the Bluff depot as a base for the journey to Mount Hope at the foot of the Beardmore Glacier, where the final depot was to be laid. The party left Hut Point on the morning of October 9th, the 9 men hauling on one rope and trailing 3 loaded sledges. They reached safety camp in the early afternoon, and after repacking the sledges with a load of about 2,000 pounds, they began the journey over the barrier. The pulling proved exceedingly heavy, and they camped at the end of half a mile. It was decided next day to separate the sledges, 3 men to haul each sledge. Mackintosh hoped that better progress could be made in this way. The distance for the day was only 4 miles, and the next day's journey was no better. Joyce mentions that he had never done harder pulling, the surface being soft, and the load amounting to 220 pounds per man. The new arrangement was not a success, owing to differences in hauling capacity and inequalities in the loading of the sledges. And on the morning of the 12th, Mackintosh, after consultation, decided to push forward with Wild and Spencer Smith, hauling one sledge and a relatively light load, and leave Joyce and the remaining 5 men to bring 2 sledges and the rest of the stores at their best pace. This arrangement was maintained on the later journeys. The temperatures were now falling below minus 30 degrees Fahrenheit at some hours, and as the men perspired freely while hauling their heavy loads in the sun, they suffered a great deal of discomfort in the damp and freezing clothes at night. Joyce cut down his load on the 13th by depoting some rations and spare clothing and made better progress. He was building snow cairns as guideposts for use on the return journey. He mentions passing some large crevasses during succeeding days. Persistent headwinds with occasional drift made the conditions unpleasant and caused many frostbites. When the surface was hard and the pulling comparatively easy, the men slipped and fell continually, looking much like classical dancers. On the 20th, a northerly wind made possible the use of a sail, and Joyce's party made rapid progress. Jack sighted a bamboo pole during the afternoon, and Joyce found that it marked a depot he had laid for my own Farthest South party in 1908. He dug down in the hope of finding some stores, but the depot had been cleared. The party reached the Bluff depot on the evening of the 21st and found that Mackintosh had been there on the 19th. Mackintosh had left 178 pounds of provisions, and Joyce left one sledge and 273 pounds of stores. The most interesting incident of the return journey was the discovery of a note left by Mr. Cherry Garrard for Captain Scott on March 19, 1912. Only a few days before the latter perished at his camp further south. An upturned sledge at this point was found to mark a depot of dog biscuit and motor oil, laid by one of Captain Scott's parties. Joyce reached safety camp on the afternoon of the 27th, and, after dumping all spare gear, pushed on to Hut Point in a blizzard. The sledges nearly went over a big drop at the edge of the barrier, and a few moments later Stevens dropped down a crevasse to the length of his harness. "Had a tough job getting him up, as we had no alpine rope and had to use harness," wrote Joyce. "Got over all right and had a very hard pull against wind and snow, my face getting frostbitten as I had to keep looking up to steer. We arrived at the hut about 7:30 p.m. after a very hard struggle. We found the captain and his party there. They had been in for 3 days. Gaze was also there with the dogs. We soon had a good feed and forgot our hard day's work." McIntosh decided to make use of the dogs on the second journey to the Bluff Depot. He thought that with the aid of the dogs, heavier loads might be hauled. This plan involved the dispatch of a party to Cape Evans to get dog pemmican. McIntosh himself, with Wild and Spencer Smith, started south again on October 29th. Their sledge overturned on the slope down to the sea ice, and the rim of their tent spread was broken. The damage did not appear serious, and the party soon disappeared round Cape Armitage. Joyce remained in charge at Hut Point, with instructions to get dog food from Cape Evans and make a start south as soon as possible. He sent Stevens, Hayward, and Cope to Cape Evans the next day and busied himself with the repair of sledging gear. Cope, Hayward, and Gaze arrived back from Cape Evans on November 1st, Stevens having stayed at the base. A blizzard delayed the start southward, and the party did not get away until November 5th. The men pulled in harness with the four dogs, and as the surface was soft and the loads on the two sledges were heavy, the advance was slow. The party covered 5 miles, 700 yards on the 6th, 4 miles, 300 yards on the 7th, and 8 miles, 1,800 yards on the 9th, with the aid of a light northerly wind. They passed on the 9th a huge bergstrom, with a drop of about 70 feet from the flat surface of the barrier. Joyce thought that a big crevasse had caved in. "We took some photographs," wrote Joyce. "It is a really extraordinary fall in of ice, with cliffs of blue ice about 70 feet high and heavily crevassed, with overhanging snow curtains. One could easily walk over the edge coming from the north in thick weather." Another bergstrom with crevassed ice around it was encountered on the 11th. Joyce reached the Bluff Depot on the evening of the 14th and found that he could leave 624 pounds of provisions. McIntosh had been there several days earlier and had left 188 pounds of stores. Joyce made Hut Point again on November 20th, after an adventurous day. The surface was good in the morning, and he pushed forward rapidly. About 10:30 a.m., the party encountered heavy pressure ice with crevasses and had many narrow escapes. "After lunch, we came on 4 crevasses quite suddenly. Jack fell through. We could not alter course, or else we should have been steering among them, so galloped right across. We were going so fast that the dogs that went through were jerked out. It came on very thick at 2 p.m. Every bit of land was obscured, and it was hard to steer. Decided to make for Hut Point and arrived at 6:30 p.m. after doing 22 miles, a very good performance. I had a bad attack of snow blindness and had to use cocaine. Hayward also had a bad time. I was laid up and had to keep my eyes bandaged for 3 days. Hayward, too." The two men were about again on November 24th, and the party started south on its third journey to the Bluff on the 25th. McIntosh was some distance ahead, but the two parties met on the 28th and had some discussion as to plans. McIntosh was proceeding to the Bluff Depot with the intention of taking a load of stores to the depot placed on latitude 80 degrees south in the first season sledging. Joyce, after depositing his third load at the Bluff, would return to Hut Point for a fourth and last load, and the parties would then join forces for the journey southward to Mount Hope. Joyce left 729 pounds at the Bluff Depot on December 2nd, reached Hut Point on December 7th, and, after allowing dogs and men a good rest, he moved southward again on December 13th. This proved to be the worst journey the party had made. The men had much trouble with crevasses, and they were held up by blizzards on December 16th, 18th, 19th, 22nd, 23rd, 26th, and 27th. They spent Christmas Day struggling through soft snow against an icy wind and drift. The party reached the Bluff Depot on December 28th and found that McIntosh, who had been much delayed by the bad weather, had gone south 2 days earlier on his way to the 80 degree south depot. He had not made much progress, and his camp was in sight. He had left instructions for Joyce to follow him. The Bluff Depot was now well stocked. Between 2,800 and 2,900 pounds of provisions had been dragged to the depot for use of parties working to the south of this point.